We call upon the name as we heard it in the song. We heard it in the testimony. That if we call upon your name, you have provided new life for all and everyone whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And that word saved means delivered, healed, brought out of darkness into the light of your glory. That word saves means, oh my God, restored. No matter what has been lost, it will be returned. No matter what has been broken, all of the pieces will come together. No matter how far they are scattered. That word saved, that means that you will restore us to a place that is beyond anything that we can begin to ask or imagine. More than any of us have experienced in this place today, you have saved us. You have brought new life, Lord God, that we still have yet to live. It's so much more than we know. Your word says throughout eternity, Lord God, we'll be seeing your grace and your goodness as we have received Jesus. Help every saved soul in here, God, begin to appreciate in ways that we never have before this great salvation that you have brought to the people who will say yes to you. And if there are unsaved among us today, that they will hear, Lord God, that you will save any who will call on your name. That they will hear that you are no respecter of persons. We can't be so lost that you won't be right there with us. God, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, bless and sanctify this place with your presence today. More than we're able to ask, as Danny said, you're able to do. And we glorify you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, don't you like whosoever? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn. Jesus didn't come to say, you bad thing, you terrible child. No, he did not. He did not come to condemn, but he came to save us from the condemnation. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. been hearing that all the time, Pastor Wells, but what does it mean? It means all you have to do is cry out to him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So see, he didn't come to condemn us. We were already condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's not because God been hating on us, but it's because God loves us that Jesus came into this world. You know, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about this salvation is so rich, it's so big, it's so powerful that we can't really explain it. And if you notice, Danny said, I don't know how to tell you, but I know something happened in the room and I was overwhelmed. I know it was bigger than me. I know it was more than me. And it was working out in me some things that had never been worked out is basically what he said. He said, the voices in my head stopped. He said, there were voices going around, three different voices going in my head. And they all stopped at one time because the presence of God came on me in such a way. The presence of God changed me in such a way. See, the change is radical. It's extreme. It's not a little tap. It's not a little dab. But this thing is powerful. And I know that we don't know it yet, but I believe that if we keep on pressing, we're going to begin to know that this salvation is great. That deliverance is purely powerful. And any soul can be delivered out of darkness. I remember when I first started to walk with God. I've been in church all my life, because you're in church all your life, because you're in the choir, because you're on the usher board, because you're on the deacon board, because you're in the pulpit, because you're on the dance team, because you're on the deacon board, because you're on all of these boards, the mother boards with your white dress on and your hair pulled back, don't mean you saved. If you're there every time the door opened, that does not mean that you're saved. I was in the house and I was lost. Shouted more than anybody. You done told us this before. I'm telling you again. Made more noise than anybody in the house. Nobody would sit next to me because I was wild with my shouting. That was just probably the devil trying to hold on to me. And so when this thing happened in here, for real, I was laying on my couch one day and I was trying to get this salvation thing that Jesus had died for my sins in my place. I was trying to see that thing. I was trying to understand that thing, how he took it and now I'm free. Hey, now I'm free. How is that? And so I saw this judge sitting up on his bench, and I saw him with his gavel, and I'm standing there in front of him, and he brings his gavel down to pronounce the death sentence, because that's what I had doing. And when he brought the gavel down, it wasn't me standing there no more. It was Jesus. Ooh, it was my sentence. But Jesus took it. At the very instant that the gavel came down, I was made free. At the instant that the gavel came down, you were made free. When Jesus hung out there on Calvary and he said, it is finished. When he said, it is finished. It is completely complete. Every sin that they will ever commit, everything that they've ever done, everything that they're doing, everything that is to come. He said, I just wiped it all out for billions of people at one time. One exhaling of the breath, and dying on that cross. And he took care of everybody's sin because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect one. When God said, let us make man in our likeness and our image, Jesus came into earth to show us what that was like. He exemplified what it means to be man. He exemplified it. And because he did it, stripped of his glory. See, he didn't come down here like God. No, he came as a baby in a manger. Helpless. Got to have somebody do everything for it. Can't eat by itself. Can't change his diaper by itself. Can't move from place to place by itself. God became a man and he started out as a baby in his mother's womb. The way you started out in your mother's womb. So that he could identify from conception throughout the life. He came down here to show you how you could come forth from your mother's womb with purpose. How you could come forth from your mother's womb with the hand of God on you. He urebasha. Kiromosha, anointed and appointed by God in his mother's womb to be our Savior, though he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. I don't know how that works, but I know that at the same time he was before, he was also now. And at the same time that he's now, I know that he's forever. I don't know how it works. I just know God said it and I believe it. I know that God said it in such a way that it'll make a believer out of you. And it'll dispel your questions. It'll dispel that darkness. And I'm talking about the word getting on the inside of you and doing what it'll do. Danny said, I said I would never go to church. Somebody said that to me yesterday. I said, oops, you just challenged me to pray for your happy self until you just come on up in the house. Can you hear me? I was leaving the family meeting yesterday, and I said to one of our kinfolk, I said, see you later. He said, not in church. I thought, ooh, he shouldn't have never said that. Because now I'm on my face, and I'm going to call his name until he won't know what happened to him, until what comes over him changes him. It's on now. And I'm going to do like that girl did. She went to church and she told on Danny. I'm going to tell y'all, we all praying for Mr. Lee. Can you say Mr. Lee? You ain't gonna never see me in church. I said, oops, he shouldn't have said that. I'm going to tell everybody, pray for Mr. Lee. Hey, when you go to bed at night, say, save Mr. Lee, Jesus. Shake up Mr. Lee, Jesus. Shouldn't have told me that. Should have kept it to yourself. The devil always talk too much. He always overplay his hand. The devil overplayed his hand. He influenced that man to say the wrong thing yesterday. Now the devil gonna lose him to Jesus. Come on. Save Mr. Lee. Even now. Whosoever. From wheresoever. Doing whatsoever. So let them call me. I'll save them. See, I know we got some folk in here today that we need to call their names out. We need to bother them. We need to bother them. We need to say Jesus loves you even if they don't want to hear it. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They call that a Sunday school song. That thing is so powerful. And that's what God's doing. He's taking us back to the basics. He's taking us back to the place that we've fallen from. What did God say to that church? He said, listen, church, he said in the book of Revelation, was it Ephesus? I believe it was the church at Ephesus. He said, look, he said, you guys get everything right. You get everything right. Y'all preaching the right word, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, laying hands on the sick, casting out the devil. He said, discerning when the devil comes among you. He said, but I have somewhat against you. If Jesus got something against me, I'm screwed. He said, but I have somewhat against you. He said, you've left your first love. Remember when God was bringing Moses and the children of Israel out, and he's taking them into what God has planned, has purposed for his people, and then God got so disgruntled with him, he said, listen, y'all just gone. Moses said, no, sir. He said, no, sir. He said, we will not go without you, church. We need to determine that unless the Spirit of God rests in this house, unless the glory of God rests in this house, we don't want to go. Unless God is leading the pack, there's no place to go. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is destruction. It can look right, seem right, talk right, walk right, and be wrong. Come on, Church of the Living God. We want to see his face. We want to behold his countenance. We want to get so real about God till everybody around you say, you acting funny, A-C-K-I-N-G. You acting funny. You acting like you better than me. Go ahead, let them say it. You'll know you on your way now. And I'm not talking about you being haughty. I'm not talking about you being prideful. I'm not talking about you being lifted up. But I'm talking about a humility on you that's so rich and so powerful that they don't know you anymore. That you'll walk like Jesus walked. Whosoever. Nobody's gone too far. Nobody's done so much that Jesus didn't cover it all at Calvary. Are you hearing myself? When he died, he said, it's done for all time, for all men. It's settled. Even those who won't receive him before they die, it will settle for them too. Because if it had not been, then he would be a respecter of persons. There is a doctrine that teaches that God chose a few of us out and the rest go to hell. That is not what happened. The Bible says he so loved the world. That means everybody. That he gave his son to die in our place. And so whether you ever receive him or not, he died for you. Yes, he did. Now, never catch me in church. Okay. Never catch me worshiping God. Okay. But he died for you anyway. That's love. That's love. That's love better than we know, right? Because if you done me wrong, I sing about it. My somebody done me wrong song. Huh? I sing about it. I look like it. I act like it. But not God. Can you hear what I'm saying? In Luke chapter 15, when the young man came and said to his father, give me my inheritance. His father gave it to him, though it was meant for him after his father died. But his father gave it to him then. Your portion, I'll give it to you. It belongs to you. But it's only supposed to come at a particular time. He didn't want to wait until then. And so he gave it. So he gave it to him. And when he gave it to him, he took it out and he wasted it. He lost it all. And you know how it is when you got a little something, something, you got friends too. When you got a little something, something, everybody in your corner. Huh? Yeah, like, hey, man. You know, when these people win the lottery, folk come out of the woodwork for them. You know I'm your 20th down the line cousin. Go dig up these lineages and find out whose great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmama was. You know we had the same great-granddaddy? Huh? Give me a little something. But then when it's all gone, they disappear. Now he's alone in a hog pen about to eat with the animals. Garbage. Food not even fit for human consumption. That's how low he sunk. Listen. You can sink ever so low. But I will never forget Danella standing up in front of this church one day and she said, no matter how low you go, he dips down and he scoops you out of that place. Scoops you out of that condition that was designed to kill you. It doesn't matter how long. As I was sitting here praying the other day, I thought about the man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Can you hear what I'm saying? For 38 years, he didn't know anything about being healed. He didn't know anything about being free. And the Spirit of God just came on me and I just began to pray for those who have suffered in a certain way for a long time, whether it's spiritually, whether it's physically, I don't care. If you've been caught in a trap that you haven't gotten out of, God is releasing you from that thing. I don't care how many years it's been. Because Jesus died for it all. Say all of it. Died for all of it. You hear me? Fearful, doubtful, pitiful, hurt, feeling like you've never been loved, don't know your worth, don't know your value. He died for it. He died for it all. He didn't leave any of us out. That's why he said whosoever. That's why the call is not discriminating, because he fit you in too. Your mind won't even go to some of the things that God will save people from. How do I know? Because we have a tendency to say, oh, you know, hey, it's too late. We have a tendency to judge matters. Don't sit in here and look sanctimonious to me. We have a tendency to judge matters, to judge situations and say, Lord, have mercy. But you don't really mean, Lord, have mercy. Because you've already written them off. Some of us have written ourselves off. Danny had written himself off. In one of his testimonies, he said, I cut them all up because I didn't want anybody to know where I was and nobody to know who I was no matter where I went. He said, so I cut up everything that had my name on it so they think I just disappeared. How many know you can disappear for us but not God? You can go out of my sight. I can go out of your sight. But you can't go anywhere that God won't see you. Psalm 139 says no matter how dark, it's like the noonday to God. He will see you wherever you are. When you land in the bed feeling sorry for yourself, he's right there. When you're trying to drive off the bridge, he's right there. When you're cutting yourself, he's right there. When you're taking the pills, he's right there. When that man is laying with that man, he's right there. When that woman is laying with that woman, he's right there. At any moment, the blood of Jesus will work. You can't shoot up enough drugs and be enough out of your mind that God won't be right there with you. You can't be so drunk and stumbling that he won't take every stumble with you. The day God turned my daddy's life around, he was drunker than a skunk. Sitting at work crying and feeling sorry for himself. Lord, what will become of me? Was the question that he asked the Lord. He said, what will become of me? And in that instant, Jesus showed up. He said the light was so bright he could never describe it. He said, and out of that light, Jesus stepped forth and began to speak to him, not about the drunkenness, but about where he was taking him from there. Jesus not concentrating on all that stuff that's been weighing you down. He's talking about where we getting ready to go. All that stuff that's been worrying your mind. All that foolishness just keep bogging you down. Keeps you going the other direction when God is going another direction. He doesn't even talk about that when he comes. You don't hear me? He doesn't even talk about that. He's just too glad to get you back. He lost us in the garden. And ever since then, he's been getting us back through the blood of Jesus. He didn't talk to my daddy about... My dad would be so drunk, they had to take the phone out of our house. Because every time he got drunk, he was a sorry drunk. He wasn't one of them mean ones that would beat you up. He just felt sorry for himself. So he would call his mama and his daddy. And long distance, and the daddy wasn't like today. You know, you can call Australia today. You had to pay for all of that. And we couldn't afford it. And he would call him, Mother, where daddy put daddy on the phone. Y'all didn't love me as much as you love my sisters. Because you let them go through school and finish school. And I just went to the sixth grade and y'all made me work. One of the smartest men I ever knew. One of the smartest men I ever knew was my dad with his sixth grade education. He come in and wire this building better than somebody been to school. Well, nothing he put his hands through that he couldn't do. But he thought because he only went to the sixth grade, he was dumb and he was stupid. And so now I'm the dumbest one. Went further in life than all three of his sisters. You hear what I'm saying? And so one day Jesus came and knocked all that foolishness out of him. And you hear what I'm saying? Knocked all that foolishness out of him. He got up and he was a different person. He was a different man. You know what? We're supposed to be different people. When the Holy Ghost comes and delivers us from darkness, we are to be different people. There is no way in the world we should be who we were before. And so I'm beginning to say, Lord, if folk need to come back to the altar to make sure they save, have them come on up here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're not so sure, because that needs to be a real change. And I don't want to play with this anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't want to play with this anymore. I don't want to be saying, God knows my heart. No, 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 no. If he knows your heart, get it up here. So he can change it. It's not okay to be saved and talking like a fool. It's not okay to be saved and acting like a fool. I'm talking about all of us. When that boy came to himself in that pigsty, he said, you know something? My dad's servants are living better than I'm living. He said, you know what? I think I'll go home. You know, when you come home, your motive don't always have to be right. You just need to come on home. He said, I believe I'll go home and I'll say to daddy, I'll be your servant. How do you go from being a son to a servant? I mean, blood is blood. You are who you are. You can't change that because you acted crazy. People throw the kids out and say, I'm not your parent anymore. Really? Your blood and DNA running all through them. They looking like you. Stop it. How you gonna disown you? You understand what I'm saying? None whatsoever. We just foolish. Let me go home and let me ask Daddy to let me be a servant. And see, the moment your heart turns, the moment that your heart turns, the moment you call on Jesus, one of the recordings said, he said, the girl's name said that if I call on your name, he didn't even just outright call on his name. He said, if I call on you, I'll be saved. God will take any turn his way. Because he'll work it out during the turn. Because he actually knows what's in the heart anyway. He knows the cry when it's real. He said, I believe I'll go home. His father saw him afar off. He didn't see him in the yard. He saw him afar off. Afar off means way down the road to me. Way down yonder somewhere. He saw him, stretched his arms out and ran to meet him and fell on him. Don't you know when Jesus came, that was God running to meet you? Don't you know that was God falling on you and embracing you? When he came, when he got there, he said something crazy. And the father ignored the crazy. Like he did my daddy that day. He ignored the crazy. Like he did when you got saved. When I got saved. He ignores the crazy because he's on a mission to save you from the darkness. He knows that what you're saying comes out of the darkness. It's not in the, your mind not right. Our minds haven't been right since the Garden of Eden. And I don't care how smart, I don't care how intelligent, I don't care what you've created, what you've invented. I do not care. You are not smart. I don't care how much money you make and how successful. Velasco said, I was making $3,000 a day. Hello, some people can't get that in a month. 3 months. Come on, 3 months. Am I at your month yet? Am I at your rate yet? 4 months. He's making $3,000 a day, and he said, and I worked every day. And was lost because money won't do it. Relationships on earth won't do it. You got to have one with Jesus. That's the one that will fix you. That's the one that will save you. That's the one that will deliver you. It's just Jesus. I don't care how you love him. I don't care how lovey dovey you be. I don't care how old baby it is. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. You can only love your children so hard, and they can only love you so hard. Nobody's love saves but Jesus. If your child came back home, though you be glad to see him, in a minute you're going to be fussing. Don't clown with me. You know I'm telling the truth. I told you not to go. They got to do some kind of I told you so. Y'all just playing. I gotta tell you some kind. I tell you so, especially if they wasted all your money. Come on, I'm gonna come down here now. Especially if they done spunked your money. Especially if they spent your money. Come on. Now you come back here all broke. I'm gonna give you a bed. I'm gonna give you a room to sleep in. But I need you to know you're broke because you did something wrong, not because of me. But not God. No, sir. He's so glad for you to come home. He's got another ring for you. He's got a robe for you. He got some brand new shoes for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then he's going to throw you a party of parties. So much so that the ones that's been at home all the time say, that's God's favorite. Y'all know how y'all act? Don't let me read a little bit better than you. Don't let my prayers be more detailed than yours. Don't let my song be the song that everybody shouts off of. Don't let me be the one that everybody watches on the dance team. I know I'm in here, girl. I ain't crazy. I'm in Transformer Word. I ain't down the street. Don't do it any better than me, because now God has favorites. It's not true. God is no respecter of persons. He treats us all the same. He sees us all through that same blood of Jesus. That same Calvary experience that Jesus had. That's how God judges everybody in here. God judges everybody according to the goodness of his heart. And not the lack of goodness in ours. He judges everybody in here because he's good. He treats us like we're good when we come to him. Thank God for grace today. Thank God for saving grace. Thank God for how he waits to be gracious to us. Thank God how he's not going to run out of time. Did you know God's not going to run out of time? You may run out of time because sometimes you got to die and leave here unless Jesus comes first. But God never runs out of time. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you have to live till you 80 to get what God wants you, ask Joshua and Caleb. Ask Caleb. Caleb was 80. He had to wait till all the crazies died out for God to fulfill his promise to him. And he was as strong as an 80-year-old man as he was when he was 40. I say that's mighty good. And since I'm pressing toward 80 in a minute, I'm giving him glory. When the kids were jumping today, I said, look, girl, I can't jump now. She made me get up and dance, so I'll dance. But all of these years, y'all know them kids had me out at that bonfire the other night. Sitting in the rain with a blanket over me, getting wet. Bryson and Leslie. Hope they remember forever how they treated me. But anyway, the Lord God is to us like that Father was. And the people who are sitting in the house should be celebrating those who come back. We should celebrate every soul that comes back in the bosom after they've wandered away. We need to be part of the party. We need to be dancing too. Huh? Oh, yeah. God throwing a party, eating, done killed the fatted calf, killed the best calf, killed the fatted calf, the one that's going to be juicy and good, just savory. You know how you smoke that rib until they just fall off the bone? Huh? And you bite into it and you say, Lord, that just melted. I need another bite. You know what I'm talking about, Marianne? I know how to cook my ribs off the bone. Annette thinks she the only one. Where Annette? Oh, she ain't even here for me to mess with her. She thinks she don't want to cook a rib off the bone. I can cook a rib off the bone. Do you hear what I'm saying? Make you say, Kelly, what did you do? All right, stop, because somebody be saying, you going to barbecue for me? No. No. They ate and they ate good and they danced. And the kid that was at home was missing something too. You know why? Because he at home didn't realize that everything that was there was available to him. Come on. You're in the house missing. In the house missing out on what God has for you. And when somebody comes back, you're jealous of him because you're not full of Christ. Because you didn't get full while they were gone. I'm in here. Say whosoever. I'm a whosoever. And those people that I've written off, they're whosoevers. And Mr. Lee is a whosoever. Mr. Lee messed up, TC. He messed up. I thought, he on the top of my prayer list right now. Somebody gonna have to come along and kick him off because he gonna stay right there for a minute. And you hear me? I thought, I didn't say nothing. I said, Somebody say, you didn't say that to her. Yes, I did. I mean, he was bold with it too. I thought, I can't hardly wait till your testimony is, I love Jesus. If you belong to him, Jesus will never lose you. Listen, he said, all that the Father has given me, I have kept. All that the Father has given me, I have kept. All that are mine. And then he said, this same glory that I have, I give to them. Do you know, Crystal, that means you're supposed to glow like Jesus? Where's Renee's success, neon woman? You understand what I'm saying? It's like we are supposed to glow like Jesus. We are supposed to walk in the footsteps and the paths that he walked in. Every time. And I've been praying that we'll get that mindset in this church. That I am who God says I am. And I'm more than enough because he who lives in me makes me more than enough. Not myself, but the Spirit of God living in me makes me more than enough. Makes me a formidable force, unstoppable because of who lives in me. We were talking yesterday about the time that they, and I'm going to be done, when they prayed Mr. Pugh back to life at Lovejoy Temple. I think the church was up there at that time. And during testimony service, and you know how we testify. Oh, don't say testify. You know how we testify. And sometimes the testimony goes on and on and on. And I'll be thinking, come on, you just needed some space. So you just talking. And so you know how we go on and on and on. And the testimony service was going long. And the man died. And while he's dead and he slumped over, the pastor thought that he'd fallen asleep, you know, because the testimonies were going on and on. So the pastor said to touch him. When they did, he went a little bit further over. And they were trying to wake Mr. Pugh up, and it was not happening. And so they realized Mr. Pugh was dead. So they called Marshall T. Dobson. Officer didn't come to Brooklyn then. Marshall Dobson had it all sewed up here. We didn't do Nash and them people. We didn't do them people. We did Mr. Dobson. And so they called Mr. Dobson to get him, come get him. But by the time Mr. Dobson got there, the pastor said, I hear God say pray. So they started praying. And they prayed so that my one cousin who was sitting there saying, she began to get uncomfortable, but she didn't know whether to go or to stay because these prayers were getting, you know, like, something is happening in here. And she knew her backsliding ways. And she didn't know if she going to. You know we done preach to folk. You going to be consumed. But God is. He's holy and he's merciful at the same time. I can't explain it. Because if he was not holy and merciful at the same time, we wouldn't be in here today. None of us. Okay, I thought I'd help you out. And so listen. They're praying and praying. Now people from all over town come to see Brooklyn. That time had more people than what we got now. All these were houses and stuff. And so people were coming and to look in the window. Nobody was coming in, though. And these people in there having one bang up of a prayer meeting. And they prayed for hours, not minutes. I'm told that when the brain is dead for 12 minutes, it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. If the brain is dead for 12 minutes, he's been dead for hours now. And we don't know how long he was dead before they discovered he was dead. And about midnight, some say midnight, some say one. But here's what happened. He shot bolt upright. And he said, whoo, what did y'all do? He was in heaven. He didn't want to come back, but God sent him back. You hear what I'm saying? God sent him back, and he lived 2 more years after that to give his testimony. They prayed until they broke darkness, until they troubled death, until death had to let go. There is a level of prayer that can be prayed in this house. That we can stop being in and out and up and down. That we can get on with the work that God called us to do. This is not about bless me, Lord. Change me, Lord. No, this is pray until you are changed. This is pray until there is no more darkness. We need a real prayer meeting. We need to hear what God is saying about a situation, and then we need to pray. Because you're not going to raise everybody up to die. Is it appointed unto man? You're not going to raise everybody up to die. Let me help you. Because it's appointed unto man wants to die. Okay? So we know everybody going to die, but it wasn't his time. And God sent him back. Can you hear what I'm saying? So you're not going to raise every dead person. But the Bible says we will raise the dead. Hello? Hello? There is a prayer, and there is a level of prayer that is beyond what we've been praying, people. We need to go into another dimensions of prayer where we can see the changes that we want, where the prayer requests I have today won't be the same one we got next week. You hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. That's the gospel. Danny Velasco is just a sample of what God wants to do. Can you hear what I'm saying? God wants to bring utter change to these lives of ours. And it's not him holding out. It's you saying, help me, Jesus, that's going to bring the change. Help me, Jesus, from a heart that is truly crying out to God. Can you hear me? You're not just crying out to be crying out. Or because at the moment, Velasco said this. He said, God will do more than you ask him to. He said, because all I wanted to do was get out of a fix. Come on, sometimes that's all we want is to be out of a fix. And God wants more than that. All that boy needed that day was some tea in Luke chapter 15. He just needed something to eat. He needed to come out of the pig pen. But his father had so much more for him. The widow in 2 Kings 4, and then I keep saying I'll be through, but the widow in 2 Kings 4 who called on the prophet to help her when her son, when her husband had died and the creditors wanted to take her sons and make them slaves. She cried out, and the prophet said, what do you want me to do, woman? Then he said, what do you have in your house? She said, well, all I got is some oil. He said, then go borrow all of your neighbor's vessels. Go borrow all. He said, go to all of your neighbors. Not notice, enemies alike. Everybody. Because that particular phrase includes everybody. It literally means go to the rich folk, the poor folk people, the ones who are friendly, the ones who are unfriendly, the ones who hate you. Go to everybody and ask them for a vessel. God will put you on the spot. You've been talking about Sister Mary. Now you got to go ask Miss Sister Mary for her vessel. You've been kicking folk around and folk been asking you for help and you didn't do it. When you had a little something. Don't play in here. And now you got to go ask those folk. Too. You know what he's doing? He's cleaning your heart up while you're going. He's cleaning your heart up while you got to go. Because he's going to humble your happy self. And then, let me get through. So they borrowed all of these vessels. And they came back. And she started to pour. And each one she poured into, it was full. And then she moved it until there were no more vessels to fill. Now watch this. God says, now go and pay your debt. They went and paid your debt. He said, then you and your children live off of the rest. Now here's my favorite part. That word children there means not only these two sons, but all of your descendants. Everybody who comes from you. Everybody who comes from you will live off of this oil that came from that one flask. Come on. God always does more than what you ask for. Stand up, because I want to pray for you while you're standing. Hallelujah. 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 Number one, I want to tell you, whatever it is that you keep going around and around the same old mountain with, say to God today, take it. I don't want it. I want you to kill it, God. I want you to kill it. And then believe that he heard you. Believe that he heard you. We said in Sunday school this morning, we still doing like they did in the garden. We're still blaming God for the changes that have not happened in our lives. We still point a finger and say, God, you. No, it's not God, you, anything. It's me. It's on me. The ball is in my court. When God sent Jesus to Calvary, he did it all. Say, he did it all. He not only did it all, but he took it all. Come on, church. He took it all. All of it. Whatever the fear, whatever the doubt, whatever the oppression, whatever the unbelief, whatever the sickness, whatever the disease, whatever the troubled mind, whatever the emotional upheaval, he took it all. All. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you in this place today to hear the real cry of every heart in here. I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to hear the hearts of those that are crying out, Lord God, for a radical change, for a turn around, whether it be in their finances, whether it be in the physical body, whether it be in the realm of the spirit. There are people that are needing family turnarounds. There are people, Lord God, that have brokenness in here. And once and for all, Father God, calling out to you, heal my brokenness today, Father. Heal my brokenness today. Oh, God, make me free. Even as Jesus did at Calvary, let me experience it. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us to rise up from the pigsty. Help us to go and borrow the vessels, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, not to be like the son that was in the house and had everything and was mad, Lord God, because his brother was being blessed. Oh, God, help us to have no respect of persons and realize, Lord God, that strength and that power comes from you. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bolster the inner man and every believer in here today. And every unbeliever, God, I pray that they would hear this message today and be saved in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for every household represented in here today. I pray for every household represented by Transforming Word Church, whether they're here or absent today, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bless every house. Do what we think is impossible. Ah, change hearts. Change mouths. The things that come out of the mouths, Lord God. Change the speech today. Oh God. Oh God. Help us to know, Lord God, that life in you is a living reality. Help us to know the difference in the pigsty and being at home. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to know the difference between a son and a servant, Lord God. Under the old covenant, we were servants. In Jesus Christ, we're sons of God. Hallelujah. Help us to know that. And if sons, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. What you will do for Jesus, you'll do for us. Help us to know it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Now pray, God. Oh, God, I blanket this congregation. Present or absent with this prayer today, Lord. Hey, God, don't let us stay, Lord God, easy with being wrong. Oh God, make us uneasy when we're wrong, God. In those areas where we hold back, make us uneasy, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray for every soul in here to be delivered unto you and the light of your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just before you sit down, if there's anybody in the house who needs salvation. Hallelujah. Anybody at all. Anybody at all who needs to come to Jesus. And you know that God is tugging on you. Because you just feel like I need to do this. But then there may be an argument in your head. Well, not now. Not now. You got to straighten this out. Straighten that out. Promise you, you'll never straighten it out. That's the wrong voice. That's like them voices Velasco heard. And then the voices even laughed at him. You know, the devil is a hard taskmaster. He'll trick you into doing something, then he'll laugh at you. Not today, fella. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if there be none, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think we just have one announcement. That's a